There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you here. Sean Sullivan, next 2 hours, you and I hanging out, live local talk, and lots of stuff to do on today's show. We get to some breaking news from our news partners at WKRG. I'm sure we'll get an update here in the newscast. Looks like here it is. Several law enforcement agencies are involved in a manhunt for a burglary suspect, according to Citronelle Mayor Jason Stringer. Josh Bird is wanted for several home and car break-ins. Mayor Stringer says the search is happening in the area of Bud Odom Road. I know that. He says people who live in the area should stay inside and lock their doors. So if that is you on Bud Odom Road, then lock them up. McDavid Jones Elementary School is being told to keep students indoors and lock their doors. Mobile County Sheriff's Office and U.S. Marshals are assisting Citronelle Police in that search. And then I saw extra security at... Which one hits home, close to home for me. Head of school, Blair Fisher, telling WKRG a student received a phone call late last night from a random number threatening to do something to the school. School notified this morning. The school is operating as normal today with additional Mobile police officers on campus. Normally one Mobile police officer is on the main campus, one at the lower school. School officials aren't sure which campus was the threat was directed to. I'll leave it at that. Got emails this morning about that. All right, so those are a couple stories. I'll probably get an update from News 5 coming up shortly. Also in today's show, we'll talk a little Super Bowl. Dalton will join me later on in the show. Also coming up in just a little bit, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, except he's in Washington this week. We'll talk to our federal delegation, and we'll get into that conversation a little bit. Think about this. Think about Senator Shelby and where he is on appropriations and what he's doing with the budget. He is absolutely in the mix of whether something will, a deal will get done before February 15th. Now, even if Shelby does get the deal done, of course, it would have to be signed off on by the president and also the Democrats that have shown no ability. There's no wiggle room. There's no wiggle room. I mean, the president says it's $5.7 billion or nothing. Pelosi, Schumer have called a wall immoral. I don't know if that leaves a lot of area open for negotiation, but the negotiations being done right now, state Alabama Senator Richard Shelby into that big time, like neck deep in that. So we'll talk about that some when Todd joins us here in just a little bit. Also coming up on the show, I want to get into a couple things here. Number one, Dalton, can I say we do not use corn syrup for this show? Do we or do not? We do not. We mentioned it this morning, the Bud Light ads, which I thought the Bud Light, I was actually just interested in the one Bud Light ad because it paid attention to Game of Thrones, which I'm looking forward to this season. It seems like it's been 20 years since the last one, but Game of Thrones coming back did like a combo ad with Bud Light. But Bud Light was saying that they don't use high fructose corn syrup in their beer. Then here's the other turn of the story. You have the National Corn Growers Association. I may not have the right name for the group. They're pushing back and thanking Coors and Miller for using it and saying Bud Light doesn't know what they're talking about. So in Bud Light's ad to celebrate they don't use corn syrup, then they've peeved off the corn growers. Oh, there we go. Wrong mic, Sean. There you go. No, wait. What? Oh, you know what it is? The switches. Yes, the switches.
Those dang switches. Yeah, it was corn syrup. Corn syrup in the machine, actually, that slowed us down there. Actually, you know,
I've seen more and more with Twitter companies responding to ads as promoted tweets on Twitter. And I don't know if it was the National Corn Growers Association or what last night, but they responded pretty quickly to Bud Light with, hey, we're right down the road. I guess they're in the same area as Anheuser-Busch, so over there in St. Louis. And they said, we could have talked about this before you ran this ad. We're right down the road. Why don't we set up a meeting? So, yeah, they were upset about that pretty much immediately after the ad aired last night.
Yeah, which is one of the kind of, yeah, okay, so at National Corn is their Twitter handle, at National Corn, which is NCGA, National Corn Growers Association, right? Had that right. It said, America's corn farmers are disappointed in you. Like you said, our office right down the road. The fact that they can, in this case, not a business, but an association, can answer back that quickly, there's something to be said for it. Not that everybody is monitoring the National Corn Growers Association on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They probably will be now. But the ability to respond to an ad, or, you know, the same thing is true in politics when you have an ad come out that is, you know, has information in it that the candidate that is getting the ad leveled towards them doesn't like, says is untrue, they can go on immediately and dispute it.
Yeah, and then other companies can piggyback off of those ads also. Like, I think last night, Perrier, the water company, Seltzer Water, they immediately after that corn syrup ad promoted a tweet again, and they said, hey, we don't have any corn syrup in our water, just so you know.
It's and we really don't have any with the show, right?
Right. I don't think so. We'll have to check the whatever's on the back of the carton of our show to see if there is any, but I don't think we have any corn syrup here.
All right, good. So we're moving forward with that. Todd Stacey joins us. Talk to him and also some more Super Bowl talk, and we'll talk Gerald Allen's reintroduction of the conceal and carry modification bill for the state of Alabama. That's coming up all today right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1217 FM Talk 106.5. All right, we moved some things around the schedule. Todd Stacey will join us later on in the show, so we'll work that out, which means I get to continue my conversation with a man who will hear tonight at 7, although he probably will talk more of X's and O's than the ads in the Super Bowl when you and Corey have sports night, do you think? Or
I mean, it'll be a little bit of both. We've got to talk about the ads tonight because I got to pick Corey's brain, see which ones he likes. You know, no person loves the same ads or hates the same ads. So I'll be interested to see what Corey thought were the best ads from last night.
You know, the couple that stood out, but I did not see all of them. But I would say the Kia ad for West Point, Georgia. I thought that was touching. So, yeah, it was kind of understated, and I like that. Usually I like the goofy ads, but that one stood out to me. One we talked about this morning was this. What the NFL had their own ad.
Yeah, so the 100th anniversary of the NFL, and they had this ad where it was directed by Peter Berg, who directed the Friday Night Lights movie quite a few years back, one of my favorite movies of all time, and big football guy. But he directed this entire ad that was put on by the NFL, so no other company put this together. And they had tons of the greats from all the years of the NFL. I mean, Peyton Manning was in it. It started off with Marshawn Lynch. And so they're all at this football banquet recognizing the 100th anniversary of the NFL. And Marshawn Lynch gets a look. It's like this massive.
It's like a wedding cake or something, right?
A huge
like,
wedding cake with a golden football at the very top.
Right.
And Marshawn Lynch is in one of those chairs that doesn't have the wheels, you know, just a normal dining chair.
Right.
And he's leaning back because he wants to get a piece of this cake. And leans back a little too far and pulls. Looked like the whole cake was going to come down. And the football fell off of it. And you got all these NFL greats in the same room. And craziness ensues. Here's the start of that ad from last night.
Welcome to the 100th season of the National Football League. Tonight is not about the league.
What's up, Juju?
It's about football. It's about the players, the fans, the moment, and everything else that makes you say, oh boy. No can do, Cowboy.
So you got all the players and then a game of football begins. And Peyton Manning throwing passes. It ends with Ed Reed making a crazy tackle, and they're just knocking everything around the dining room. Some great graphics where they're falling through the tables. So I thought that was one of the really, really good commercials from last night.
One of the things I like, we've gotten some texts this morning from people that had a reaction that way. Now, I will say another, and if the missus is listening, she'll say, I don't say fumble.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I say?
Ball.
Ball.
Yeah, I did the same thing last night during the game, which was after halftime, and one of the Patriots players made a great strip of the ball. They got trucked, actually, but he punched the ball perfectly, a rabbit punch, they called it, and the ball was right there on the sideline. And it's just, it's instinct when you've grown up playing football.
It was something that I started thinking about when I saw that text this morning. I guess in our young porridge brains, when we're playing football young, and I played most of the time defense, like almost all the time defense, and I played on the defensive line, so that was like our whole world. And I didn't realize it was being set into my brain until later on in the years watching football. And I will, like you did yesterday, if there's a fumble, I say it out loud, not just in my head. I can't help it. I say ball. And I realize I was trained so early that, I mean, you know, watching that ad cracked me up. They said fumble, but I mean.
Well, you could hear him right after yelling ball.
Ball, ball, ball. And it's like we'll be watching a game. And there's a fumble, and I'm like, ball, ball.
When it comes down to it, we're not that different from dogs, really, are we?
We're trained. Any of y'all have that kind of reaction? You can hit us up on the text line. When you saw that or you're watching a game, there's a fumble, do you have that kind of ball, ball? And I'm embarrassed. I want to fight it. I want to not do that, but I'm guilty.
And all the NFL greats are the exact same way. As soon as they see a ball on the ground, they're yelling the same thing. And speaking of dogs, one of my favorite ads from last night came later in the game, but it was an Amazon ad, and it began with Harrison Ford in his kitchen, and it looked like his Boston Terrier. Now, I'm a fan of the Boston Terrier dogs.
You got the Boston Terrier,
I got
right.
one. Mm-hmm. And he had like a bark collar around his neck that could translate what he was saying, I guess, or maybe Alexa thought he was saying something that he wasn't. But the dog kept asking for dog food and gravy, and Harrison Ford starts chasing him around the room, and that leads to these two comedians from Comedy Central's Broad City, and they're sitting at this party and out in a jacuzzi, and for some reason the jacuzzi starts doing like the Las Vegas fountains up into the air and ejects them from the jacuzzi,
because that happens
all the time. And then the astronaut Kelly, who spent a year in space. I can't remember his first name. Is it Mark Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
And he's up in the space station, and the power grid for the entire United States keeps turning on and off. And you're like, why is the power grid going on and off? He's got his Alexa up there, and he's saying lights on and lights off. It's turning on and off. So that was a pretty good commercial, too. Probably the most heartwarming commercial from last night was Verizon, and they've got this campaign where they recognize first responders, and a couple of these really hit close to home. One really, really close to home, A.J. McCarron, former Alabama quarterback, had a close experience when he was a child, and Mobile Fire Rescue was even featured in that commercial.
Yeah, here it is.
I crushed in the left side of my face, almost to the back of my head.
He had a broken jaw. He had a skull fracture to the point the brain was exposed.
They basically had to cut me from ear to ear.
To hear your child may not make it is very surreal.
I believe I was 4 or 5 years old. We were out on the water, Dog River.
My husband had just bought a jet ski, and I was like, please be careful.
Going pretty fast. The only thing I remember is waving at my grandfather and us hitting the buoy, losing control. I was just so light that I kind of skimmed off the water at an angle, and I hit the pier face first. My grandfather made the 911 call.
We got down to the landing, and he was carrying AJ to us when we pulled up. As soon as we saw AJ, we knew we were in a serious situation. AJ had a orbital fracture.
He had a broken jaw.
My eyeball was hanging. Literally, this whole left side was just crushed.
And it just went into, okay, let's go mode. I had his dad talk to him. Just talk to him, tell him what we're doing. I mean, I've never forgot about that run.
When he got to the hospital, the doctors gave me a grief counseling card.
And he said, if the worst comes to worst, this is somebody you can call. In my mind, I was thinking, I'm going to have to bury my child.
Next thing I know, I remember waking up in the hospital. 8 metal plates and 6 screws on the left side of my face. Just a true miracle to be alive.
He's able to play this game that he loves thanks to the first responders that helped him. They have something in them that they want to give back to people.
To all the first responders, you're the true heroes of this world. They are the reason why I'm here. Just makes me thankful for everything that I have.
What they do every day matters. We all owe them so much, especially my family.
Oh my God! How are you?
I wanted to make sure that I told you thank you.
All right, so that was the ad with AJ.
Yeah,
and something. Now, I will say, just for some levity, because I mean, yes, it touched me too, but for some levity, because I can't stand it. Verizon, good ad, great subject matter, and honoring our first responders, telling those stories through a conduit with a celebrity that will get people's attention. Even though they do that for folks like us, just regular folks every day, having a story like stories from people that are famous helps drive that home. But I will say, Verizon, come on, deer running down the side of Dog River. If you go watch the ad, we'll link it up. A deer running down the not happening, a whole bunch of herds of deer. And it actually didn't even look like whitetails. They're like a red stags running down the side of the river. And then the picture of the dock that had some relief in a mountainside going up behind it with looks like blue spruce or, you know, Douglas fir or something growing on it. I would have just gotten some B-roll from around here. I'd have called the folks at WKRG and just gotten some Dog River B-roll. That's it, okay? That's my critique.
They should have called you or anyone from around the area. It doesn't sound like they even asked AJ what it looked like around Dog River, but certainly...
Red Stag,
even if
Douglas
the B-roll didn't match up, it was a good campaign.
It was a great campaign.
They called the team that wouldn't be here. Another one of the guys, Carson Tinker, who's now a long snapper for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was an Alabama long snapper back when the tornadoes ripped through in April of 2011. Mm-hmm. He details his experience with the first responders, and one that really got me last night was Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn, who's in a firehouse with a bunch of first responders around him, and he's talking about his experience back in, I think, 2005, when he was in a hit-and-run accident. I think he was walking across the road and was hit by a vehicle.
The car was going like 40 or 50 miles an hour?
50 miles an hour. He said he was launched 45, 50 feet into the air. They don't know how he lived. But after he told this story, two guys stepped up, two firemen, and said, hey, we were the first two on the scene.
Oh, wow.
We saw you when you were injured. And then a woman steps up, an EMT, and says, I saved your life there in the back of that ambulance. And he's so, you know... He thinks it's so crazy that these people are here and that they were the ones who saved his life.
Right.
When they tell him that, he turns away from them. He turns away and then he turns back around to thank them, and he's got tears streaming down his face. Now, this is a tough, mean football coach crying because he comes face-to-face with the first responders who saved his life. So a couple that really tugged on the heartstrings last night, but of course there were funny ones. Mm-hmm. And then a new theme in Super Bowl commercials. I think we saw it last year with Back to the Future, where they make you think there's going to be this new sequel.
Right.
And everyone gets excited because they're seeing Marty McFly. Well, the one this year was Big Lebowski. People thought maybe there was a second Big Lebowski coming around. And you see the dude, and he's at a bar. Bartender asks him, Jeff Bridges, asks him whether he wants a White Russian. And he says, nah, I'd rather have a Stella Artois. And
then, if you know the movie,
a twist, you've got the most interesting man in the world, former Dos Equis spokesperson, also at that same bar, who's vouching for Stella Artois. So some really funny commercials last night, some that tugged at the heartstrings. But I saw the ratings for the game actually pretty far down from year over year. Even though the NFL had a great year and they bounced back from struggling ratings last season, the ratings this year, I think they said, were down about 5%. Did well in L.A. because their team was in the Super Bowl. But overall, a 44.9 overall rating on CBS.
Okay, now, while we're adding on this, the pylon, we're piling on the tackle here. Story from loudwire.com, which is like a rock and roll the website thing. Says, more critique of Adam Levine. Real rockers react to Maroon 5's horrid Super Bowl. They go through this and get commentary here from, let's say, a singer essentially sparked a war of rock and roll host and metal artist have returned fire on social media. Reactions from Blink 182 asking Alexandria, I don't consider them to be the arbiters of what's rock and roll, but Anthrax. Yes, and Bring the Noise. Anthrax, Five Finger Death Punch, Prophets of Rage, and Trivium, which I maybe even show my age here. I don't know. Anthrax, I know Anthrax. They were all panning the performance from Maroon 5. So.
Should Anthrax even say they were watching the Super Bowl? Can you get that's less metal
yeah, I don't
than
know.
Watching that?
Tom Morello says Rams lost, but Rock won. He's saying, well... Saying this ain't the halftime blank. This is a good time blank. So Tom Morello is defending, but many others panning out there. All right, Todd Stacey joins us when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all here today and good to talk to my buddy Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Going good. Now, you are on, well, you're always on remote location unless you're in our studios, but you're on remote location today. You're in the nation's capital.
That's right. I'm in Washington, D.C. this week. I flew up last night. Didn't miss anything from the Super Bowl, I don't think, but... flew up last night. I'm going to be here all week. It's a really big week in Washington, D.C. You've got, you know, the State of the Union this week. You've got budget negotiations still going on. So it kind of worked out timing-wise, and I'm going to be meeting with the congressional delegation, the two senators, and our seven congressmen just to kind of interview them, get their take on what's going on. It's kind of a big moment for Capitol Hill, and so it's interesting timing to be here.
Yeah, what kind of questions, I mean, you don't have to open up the whole bag on them, but what kind of questions are you asking of our delegation?
Well, you know, Alabama Daily News, our motto is what happened, why it matters, and what's next. And I just really like to get to the bottom of, you know, hey, what's the biggest things that are going on? Why do those things matter to people in Alabama? And tell me what happens next. You know, so I don't really want to dwell on too much old news. I really want to find out what they think about the things that are happening. Obviously, you know, Senator Shelby is right in the middle of the budget negotiations for the border. That's a tough spot to be in. And so I'm really looking forward to talking to him about, you know, hey, how do you go about that? How do you... You know, on one side, you know, try to get something done, which, you know, he needs to do. That's his job, is to get to a resolution. But I have to, you know, have to also please the president. That's a tough spot. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he says.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of the what's next, right? Because we're looking at February 15th, that I guess if they don't strike a deal here, it's back to the partial government shutdown.
That's right. And, you know, I tend to think they would probably... maybe pass another continuing resolution just so everybody didn't freak out again. But, yeah, we'd be right back to square one. So I know, I mean, Senator Shelby was on TV this weekend saying, yeah, we need to get a budget deal. And there's nobody like him that can do it. That room is full of deal makers. It's not full of, you know, the partisan types who are throwing bombs. It is full of deal makers. But whether that deal can be accepted by, on one side, Pelosi, who is, you know, the left side of her caucus is just driving her crazy, and then President Trump, who's made it clear he wants $5.7 billion and no less. So it's a very tough spot to be in. But like I said, that's going on right now, and I'm really interested to talk to him about it, but also the other members of the delegation. This will be the second time I've interviewed Doug Jones. You know, he's being attacked by these people who are kind of gearing up to run for Senate. So I'm interested to see, you know, how that's maybe affecting him, how he's going about doing his job, given the fact that, you know, he's just got a big uphill battle, and whether that sort of is in his mind going forward. And of course, the House delegation, they've flipped majorities. So, like, you know, you had five congressmen over there that had been enjoying being in the majority for, you know, what, 8 years? Now they're in the minority. What's that like? I'm really eager to ask, you know, Congressman Byrne, what's it like being in the minority? Is it different? How are you going to go about your job? And how do you deliver for the district, even though you're not in the majority anymore?
Hey, just joining us, talking to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Okay, you said something there at the beginning of your answer, and to me that's important. You talk about Senator Shelby and a room full of deal makers. Okay, you could deal make. In the past, I always would sense there was a gray area in which the compromise was made, and you can have these deal makers make the deals, but you pointed out you have in one corner a Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer saying, not that the wall amount is too much or we want it to be 12 feet and not 16 and those kind of things. They're saying that it is a, which I think is laughable, but a wall is immoral. I mean, that's not something that has nuance to it. A wall is either moral or immoral. They say it's immoral. President Trump says it's the $5.7 billion or nothing. And they can make all the deals they want, but if those are the two ends that it has to be passed through, the leadership of Democrats in the with the majority in the House and the minority in the Senate, and the president of the United States representing the Republicans, I don't care how many things they do behind closed doors, how do you get this thing done?
That's a great point, Sean, and what's funny about that is in the old days, I mean, years ago, even probably 5 years ago, what you would do is none of this would be conditional. You would just say, okay, we're going to give X billion. Let's say it's 5.7 or maybe a bigger budget number. And you wouldn't be specific. You just say, okay, well, here's your budget, you know, Department of Homeland Security. You'd probably put some parameters on it, but you wouldn't be that specific to say, well, 5.7 billion has to go to the border or no money can be spent on the border. I mean, that getting that specific really ties the hands of, you know, these agencies. So, like, it's what's interesting to me is during the Obama years, the Democrats would complain every time Republicans wanted to put constraints on what the president could do with the money. Well, now those tables have turned. The Democrats are trying to put constraints on what can happen. You know, all right, well, we'll say you give the Department of Homeland Security $10 billion and say, hey, go protect this country. And well, if they want to spend 5.7 on a border wall, then that should be their decision, right? You know, that's how much is delegation, how much is federalism, and how much is, hey, getting what your party wants.
Okay, well, and then you've got the question about this emergency declaration. That brings the judicial branch in as well, I guess, because somebody would sue over it, I'm sure, and go to court.
Oh, no question. If President Trump does decide to declare a national emergency and direct funds or troops and things like that to the border, especially funds, that gets going to court. I mean, you know, there are constitutional questions there about who controls the purse, all that, and it that's fine. And I think that's a good argument for him not to do that. Let's try to use the legislative branch to get this. I know it's an uphill climb, you know, and we may have to take baby steps. I think what Senator Shelby proposed was, hey, let's go for half this year and half next year. Let's do something. Let's demonstrate some kind of win, because, you know, a constitutional crisis is not really the way to win. But that's one argument. Other people would say, hey, at least he's getting something done. At least he's actually putting his foot down and doing it. Whether it would actually happen, good question, Sean.
Talking to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. If folks want to get the email in their inbox each weekday morning, tell them how to do that.
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. And if you want to sign up for the email, it's just click subscribe right there. It's free, no cost at all. Just enter your name and your email, and you'll be signed up. And what you get is a daily email from me, going through the day's top stories. Like this week, I'll be up here in Washington, D.C., and I'll be sharing some of what I'm talking about with the congressional delegation. But you get news not just from Washington, D.C., but from Montgomery. We cover a lot of state politics out of the state capitol, and news from all over the state and all over the country. So it's really easy. It's fun. And sign up and let me know how you think about it.
All right, coming right back. More with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. Todd, you are in Washington right now, but still have your eye on Montgomery. And I want to run through a couple of the state stories today. First of all, you're talking about State Rep. Steve Klaus reintroducing legislation to eliminate specials here in Alabama.
That's right. I mean, everybody remembers the 2017 special election, right? The one that Doug Jones won. But really, take that part away. Take that out of your mind that Doug Jones won. Just think about the fact that we had an appointment to the Senate, and that, you know, then the governor resigned. Kay Ivey comes in and says, no, that's not correct. We actually have to have a special election. It was a maddening year, that 2017. So we had a primary runoff, and then a general, all for the same election. It ended up costing the state about $5 million. And in the general fund, that, you know, that's the one that doesn't have a ton of money. And $5 million is a lot. And what Steve Klaus is saying, he's the chairman of that general fund. He's saying, look, that's money we can't afford to do without, especially when, had we just waited 1 year, less than a year, really, we could have had this election in November and just the regularly scheduled election. You know, take the politics away. Would that have helped Doug Jones or hurt Doug Jones or helped Luther Strange? I don't know. I think that's too hard to really parse. And that's not really Steve Klaus's point. His point is it's easy enough to allow the governor to appoint and go to the next general election, you know, which is only always 2 years away. I think he's got a pretty good point. And who knows when the next time a special election for the U.S. Senate's going to be here. But we should be doing everything we can to have, you know, efficiency in government. That's what his bill's about.
All right. And then speaking of state government, and this may be, I don't know, I'd like to get your pick. Which one's Battle Royale? I heard Governor Ivey talking about Medicaid expansion. So is it Medicaid expansion? Is it the lottery? Or is it gas tax? Which one will cause the most consternation during session this year?
Well, the gas tax, you know, the infrastructure fight or whatever you want to say, that is the big one, because that's the one everybody is committed on. There's, you know, pretty much everybody ran on, hey, we've got to do something about infrastructure. Maybe they disagreed about exactly what the levels were going to be or what the exact specifics were going to be, but, you know, everybody ran on it. So that's the big one, because, you know, she's got a lot invested in that. So does the speaker. So does the pro tem. The lieutenant governor does. So they really want to get that done. And if somehow it didn't work out, it would be a big embarrassment. But when it comes to Medicaid expansion, yeah, that issue has come up. The hospitals, you know, they had a press conference the other day saying, look, don't forget about this huge issue. It was really big during the campaign. Walt Maddox was talking about it a ton. And but, you know, the people voted, and they didn't choose the guy that wanted to expand Medicaid. They chose the other one. So they're coming back and just saying, hey, don't forget about this issue. But, Sean, I don't think that's even going to come up this year. I think what they're doing is trying to lay the table or set the table for next year or maybe even the year after, just to say, hey, don't forget. We're going to kind of float a trial balloon here just to remind you that, you know, hospitals do need more money and see if it's possible. But I don't – look, they've got so many issues between the road funding, between prisons and all these other things, maybe a lottery. They're not going to – Medicaid expansion would be way too much to bite off.
Hey, I want to get – and we'll get right back to the road thing, because I think that's going to be of interest to a lot of people. But you mentioned prisons. We talked about it last time. I talked about it last week several times on this show, as Governor Ivey – the rumor was – rumor mill says Governor Ivey may make a move – to, I guess, through executive powers, get a private company to build, and correct me if I'm wrong, to build prisons, and then the state would rent those prisons from the private entity, but it would be Alabama Department of Corrections people working it, right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, so you got two ways you can do it. The legislature can just go and, you know, vote to float a bond issue and build a bunch of new prisons, you know, maybe three or four new prisons. They have demonstrated many times they do not want to do that. That's expensive, and it makes them all vote on it. Another way you can do it is just contract. Basically, contract with a private company that runs prisons. And that's what is being thrown around right now, is, you know, how big they can go in bringing in some of these private prison companies to manage their own prison. And we basically would pay a lease, you know, or something like that. And do it through a contract process instead of legislation, creating new law and new appropriations. So, you know, I don't think there's anything nefarious to it. There is a, you know, a transparent contract review process. Everybody would know about it. You can't hide these things. But it's a way to kind of go around the legislature and to avoid basically creating new line items and new laws, which I think if you talk to most of the people in the legislature, they'd tell you it's going to be very difficult to get that through, any kind of prison plan through at the end of the day. Nobody wants their, you know, if you've got a prison in your backyard and there's 300 jobs that are based there, even if it's the most dilapidated thing in the world, you don't want it to close because those jobs are dependent on it. So the politics really comes into play there. And that's why it's thought that the governor could kind of get around all that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, Todd, that it's people that have the prisons in their backyard don't want them to leave, but you'll probably hear people of other communities that might be slated to have a prison built, they don't want it. I mean, the ones that have it want to keep it, but the ones that don't want it.
That's right. And, you know, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody that some of our prisons are just woefully outdated. You're talking about technology that was, you know, meant for the 50s, 60s, mm-hmm. maybe even before that. These places are not modern and they're not safe, many of them. So we do need some new prisons. And I can't blame a hometown lawmaker for wanting to keep those jobs there. But the truth is that we've got to modernize somehow. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck with, you know, mandatory releases of prisoners and mandatory tax increases to fund whatever the federal government tells us to. So they've got to figure it out one way or the other.
All right. So, and it's just tough to think. So if that deal was done, there would be, I mean, you said some oversight. Would the legislature have anything in to sign off with their, in other words, could a governor down the road do something like this for anything without the legislature voting on it?
Well, there's a contract review process in place right now. And so essentially, if any department, whether it's the governor's office or an agency, wants to go forward with a contract above a certain amount, they have to get the approval of the legislature. And it goes through the contract review committee. There's actually a meeting this week. And so you'll see a couple of these contracts coming through. In the past, some have been really controversial and get a lot of news coverage. Some don't. But that's the way it would, by law, it has to go through the legislature. So the governor can't just go and do it on her own. She has to have the consent of the legislature, and they have to, the committee sits there and votes. So, I mean, that's about as well as I can describe the contract review process.
And Todd, what about this? Before we wrap up here quickly, you had referenced in email this morning, Brian Lyman's story from Montgomery Advertiser says the fate of the gas tax increase could depend on getting two critical supporters on the same page. The major group representing Alabama's cities wants a greater share of revenues from any raise in the levy, arguing the current model tilts towards counties. Kind of break that down for us.
Yeah, that's right. And I encourage you to, the reason I share other sources is, you know, a lot of these people, we can't do it alone. There's lots of great reporters out there. And Brian Lyman has a great story about just how it breaks down. You know, the gas tax, I mean, it's pretty complicated, but, you know, essentially part of it goes to cities so that they can do what they need to do on city roads. Part of it goes to counties so that they can go and do what they need to do on county roads. That is, you know, that's existing. It's there. But, you know, any time you start talking about more revenue, increasing the gas tax, changing the way the gas tax is levied, then, yeah, they start getting nervous. Hey, don't take away what we have. Or if you're the one not getting what you think you need, hey, this is my chance to get more. So these, you know, counties and cities are pretty commonly, on opposite sides of the issues. This is going to be a big one. If they don't get along, if they can't figure out a way to come to an agreement, it could mess the whole thing up. It could really throw a wrench in the whole thing. So this is the battle that everybody's watching. It's not about Republicans and Democrats or, you know, it's about cities versus counties and can they find a way to agree.
Yeah, I mean, well, I wonder if they can. I mean, the cities are going to, you know, make a pretty strong argument, and I don't know where. But, you know, maybe still in the state, the political muscle is in the hinterlands. I don't know. I mean, if you break it down, where is the political muscle? You know this state. Where is it?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, here's the thing. We need both. We need county roads funded. We need it. We need those bridges out in the middle of nowhere, you know, to be, you know, adequate so the school buses can drive on them. And you've got situations where school buses are having to drive around the entire county to pick up kids just because they are avoiding this one bridge that's structurally deficient. Well, we've got a responsibility to fix that. But, you know, on the economic development side, we've got, you know, the biggest opportunities come in more urban and suburban places. So you got to have a mix of both. I'll say this, the county, Alabama Association of County Commissions, they have a pretty significant and strong lobby in the legislature in terms of they really get their counties to stick together. And when you stick together, you're strong. If you get a couple of different county commissions in a senator's area and they're stuck together and they're real committed, that's hard to argue with. So that's probably that's a good example of how both are powerful, but you've got to keep your guys together and be a powerful voice to that one senator who matters. That's how you get it. That's how you get it done.
Yeah, that's for sure. We'll talk more about that, of course, between now and the start of session. And remind folks, too, that I guess this week you're going to start the reporting from up in Washington with our federal delegation.
That's right. I'm going to be talking with each member of the delegation, just, you know, interviewing them a little bit about what they're doing, you know, what's happening, what they see is important to the country and how that relates back to Alabama. And I hope to be sharing some of those stories as we go. Look, 9 meetings in 3 days is kind of tough, so we'll do the best we can. But yeah, you can look forward to all those coming in Alabama Daily News.
Well, and I know you like interaction from folks when they get the email or they check out the website, so maybe they can add some additional questions in the tally.
Absolutely. Please respond. You know, all you got to do is reply to the email. That's what I get every day. And so, like I said, it's aldailynews.com. Sign up. If you get the email, you know, tell me what you think. And I'm eager to know, hey, what do you want me to ask Senator Jones? What do you want me to ask, you know, Congressman Byrne or some of these others? It's going to be a fun week, so stay tuned.
All right. As always, we appreciate your time, and we'll be reading right there along with the reporting over at aldailynews.com. Todd Stacey, thanks, man.
Thank you, Sean.